NFL Network, former player with the Jags, and joining us on the River Islands guest line, our buddy Bucky Brooks here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Bucky, what's going on? Happy New Year.
Man, Happy New Year. Everything is good. No complaints. Life is good.
Excellent. Excellent. And we love this time of year, and we do want to circle back with you because you may not even know this.
Oh, boy.
The last time you were on the show, it wasn't what you said. It was the way you said it that caught our attention, and we asked you who was going to win the NFC West, and it would have been fine if you were like, I'll pick the Rams. But you didn't say that. You were like, the Rams. Like, for sure, like any other answer would be ridiculous. And so we used that throughout the year as all three of these teams were jockeying. What's your post-regular season reaction to the way the division played out?
No, it was great. It was a tough division. And, you know, the Seahawks, the Rams, and even the Niners until they got beat up at the end. Look, those are three best teams in the NFC. Like, if you talk about it, like being real after seeing all of them. The Seattle Seahawks came back and snatched the division away from the Rams on a Thursday night. But I'm convinced that the Rams are the best team in the league. I'm convinced that they're going to be the best team in the NFC. And I expect them to represent the NFC in Super Bowl 60.
That's a tall order, and as I was telling my partner Mark here, since 2020, road teams are 19-41 in the playoffs. So that's, I mean, obviously 60 games since the expansion. So what gives you so much faith, especially with Davante Adams maybe being a little bit hampered?
Yeah, like, I just think they're the most complete team. Like, it's between them and the Seahawks in terms of who's the most complete. The difference is the quarterback. I would take Matthew Stafford over Sam Darnold in a big game situation, even though Sam Darnold appeared to shake off that bugaboo kind of at the end of the year. We have to see what it looks like when they're playing. But the difference for the Rams, for me, offensively, they can run the football. They can run it with power. They got enough speed to get on the perimeter. With or without Davante Adams, Puka Nacua is there. They're trying out this big tight end package with three tight ends and creating all kinds of chaos down in the red zone. And then you got the Sean McVay factor. He just has a knack for being able to craft it. So even though they will need to be road warriors, I think if you ask them, do they feel like it's a daunting task to go on the road to beat Carolina? No. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they would feel the same way about having to play either the Philadelphia Eagles or the Chicago Bears if they had to do it? I think they would be okay with that. And then if it came down to it, if they're having to play a division rival in the championship game, I think they'll take their chances, particularly because they were dominating the Hawks into the fourth quarter where Sam Darnold got hot, and it was kind of improbable the way that Seattle won. I think the Rams are very, very confident that they can get it done.
So in your initial statement there, Bucky, and Bucky Brooks is joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, you said that the NFC West teams were the three best, but you sort of said with the Niners, until the end of the year when the defense fell apart, and I mean it fell apart on different levels throughout the year, I get that, but what we're looking at right now, this particular group, how would you describe the 49er defense?
Look, man, I give Robert Saleh a lot of credit. He had to do the most with the least, meaning if you rob a defense of its two blue-chip players, and Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, you expect it to have a ripple effect on the way that you're doing. And so he's been able to do it by playing bend but don't break, relying on the offense to kind of give them leads, and then they just kind of find a way to get it done. But what happens, you have some more injuries and you got a bunch of young guys playing and they're still trying to figure out how to play. And you're going to have some of that, particularly down the stretch when you're playing good teams in these meaningful games. They just didn't have enough on defense. That said, I believe this is the best job that Kyle Shanahan has done with the team. He has really found a way to get this team up and going when no one really anticipated the Niners being in play this year. You think about Brandon Ayuk going AWOL. You think about all of the injuries that robbed them of their top players. Look, if they went last week, they're the number one seed. So, look, I give this team a chance to knock off anybody just because they're wizards on the whiteboard. But the personnel that they have right now, look, they're a little short going to the gunfight.
And this gunfight is a peculiar one because Philadelphia has been a little bit of Jekyll. They've been a little bit of Hyde, depending on which game you go ahead and watch. What do you make of the Philadelphia matchup for a good Shanahan offense and a defense that, like you said, is kind of being held together with glue and duct tape?
It's probably the best matchup that the Niners could have because offensively the Philadelphia Eagles, for lack of a better word, have been yuck Like, they've been terrible on offense. Like, they are bad to watch. They are not exciting. I mean, like, this offense is – I mean, I watched them play against the Bills a couple of weeks ago, and, like, I think they had 19 yards the second half. They cannot move the football. So if you're the Niners and you think about, man, if we can just somehow run out to a 14-point lead, do the Eagles have enough to get back in it? Whether Jalen Hurts throwing, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, whoever they have on the perimeter, Saquon Barkley hasn't been the same. They are not a very a group that is together. And that lack of chemistry and cohesion could come back to bite them. So if I'm the Niners, I feel great about the matchup, even though we have to go on the road and deal with the defending champs. I think this is the best matchup of all the matchups that they could have faced.
Okay, so, but you mentioned them, you know, for instance, getting a 14-point lead. How do they go about doing that? What is the spot that Kyle can attack?
Now, their defense is lights out. Jalen Carter's a monster on the inside. They're really good on the perimeter. But I think the one thing that the Niners have been able to do is they've been able to run the football. They've been able to set up Brock Purdy for success. Now, the thing that I've talked about, and the thing that I've talked about on your thing, is I've talked about the wide receivers having to win. I've talked about them not necessarily being route runners. Ricky Pearsall can run routes. But they have to be able to run the football so they can get the play-action things that they want to get done. They have to find a way to get some explosive plays through the air. And the only way they're going to do it is they have to be able to use Christian McCaffrey as a decoy to set up the shots that they want to take down the field. Now, it's a tall task because Vic Fangio is going to put an umbrella on the defense, not allow those things to get over the top. But they have to be able to run it so they give Brock Purdy a chance to push it past the defense.
Okay, this is a one-off, Bucky, because I think I just detected something there. You're referring to your past Bay Area statement about Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk not necessarily being elite route runners. Now, you just said Ricky Pearsall, he can run a route. I know he may or may not play, but is in your mind, if healthy, is Ricky Pearsall a step above what the Niners have had in the past?
He's a really good player. Like, look, man, I like Brandon Ayuk. I thought Brandon Ayuk was a really effective player until he got wacky. whatever took place, where he got wacky, where he just got weird, I don't know. But he was a really good player. And when I was talking about route running, more of it is like Deebo than Brandon Ayuk. But either way, Ricky Pearsall can run individual routes. But the thing about the offense that Shanahan runs, it is one that is really predicated on the running game get going and the illusion of the run, setting up the explosive plays. And so they work the middle of the field. And so route running isn't necessarily coveted at a premium in that offense. That said, when you run against good teams that can play man-to-man and really trying to snuff out the run by loading the box and daring them to win, you have to have enough guys on the win. And so that will always be the issue. Philly won't necessarily challenge them like that because Vic Fangio would prefer to play more zone, more matchup coverage. But if they're able to advance in rounds, there will be some teams that challenge them man-to-man. They got to be able to win those one-on-one matchups.
You mentioned Fangio, and just looking at the numbers, they don't seem to blitz a lot. Does Philadelphia have enough up front to get home with four? Because we saw that with Seattle against the Niners. They were able to rush four and cause a lot of havoc. Can Philly do the same thing?
Yeah, that's their calling card. Jalen Carter is a monster up front. The Jordan Davis playing. They roll a bunch of different dudes in on that defensive line. They want to rush four, have seven in coverage, keep your eyes on the quarterback, eliminate the big plays, and force you to drive it the length of the field. For the Niners, the way that you have to get them out of that is you got to be able to run the football. You got to run it at every area, inside, outside. You got to give them a few different looks. But to me, if they're going to win, it's because Christian McCaffrey wears the big sombrero, that he plays at an MVP level, and he makes them have to get out of sorts, having to defend him. We have seen Kyle Shanahan unleash him, right? He had 1,000 rushing yards, 100 catches, and all that. You want to see more of that. He has to have a big game. To me, I think all bets are off. Like, if this is the last game, he needs to get 30 touches. Like, whatever combination of runs and receptions that is, he needs 30 to set the table for the Niners.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network and beyond, with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Okay, so obviously an attachment to what you're saying is the big fella, Trent Williams. We don't know about his health. He didn't practice today. He never does on Wednesdays, so we'll see. But in your mind, beyond the obvious, how much of a key is that to the Niners' chances this weekend?
I mean, it's a big part of it, and it's probably one of the reasons why they didn't perform the way that they wanted to perform last week, and they didn't have Trent Williams. He's their best offensive lineman, even at his age, almost creeping up to 40. He's a terrific player. He's still physical. He's not quite what he was, but what he is now is still at an elite level. They need him because when you look at the front line of the Eagles, man, they are talented, and they throw waves of bodies at you. You want him on the edges, even though Kyle has been able to kind of script it and get on the whiteboard and do some things to mask his absence. At the end of the day, man, you need Trent Williams on the field for them to be at their best.
No doubt, and you get Trent, and then you get Juszczyk and Kittle, and it becomes a formidable way to run the ball to the left side. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the Philadelphia run game. Saquon Barkley, monster year last year, this year, 1,100 or so yards. What are you seeing from the Eagles and Barkley and what looks like a big step back this year?
Yeah, it's not necessarily him. I would say their offensive line is not nearly as good as they've been. And because the offensive line isn't as good, the running game hasn't been effective. And when the running game is not effective, it impacts the way that they want to throw the ball. Until they're able to either get all of their weapons back on the front line or until they perform better, it's going to be tough sledding for Saquon Barkley, and it's going to be very, very tough for them to have rhythm in the passing game. If you think about the Niners and what they try now, like, can they give them problems? Yes, but it's going to be because these guys have to play above and beyond what we've seen them play. Robert Saleh doesn't want to blitz a lot. He doesn't want to expose his corners to one-on-one coverage. And so this has to be one where the front line can control it at the point of attack. This game is won in the trenches. And so whichever front lines on offense and defense performs better, that's the team that's going to win. So for the Niners, they have to dominate at the line of scrimmage because they cannot allow this running game to get going, and they can't allow Jalen Hurts to be comfortable in the pocket.
Bucky, I'm trying to gather a few things just in listening to you about what you think about the NFC structure as a whole. Niners, certainly hampered by injury. Eagles, you don't like their offense. Rams, you love them. But if not the Rams, who else? Who else is really dangerous in this tournament?
Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks are number one seed. And I don't know if you've been up there, but, like, going up and playing in their home stadium with the 12s is very, very difficult. It's loud. It's raucous. They play different. But the X factor is Sam Darnold. Like, if Sam Darnold shows up and plays well, that's great. But remember, this team is second in the league in giveaways. Second. And the number one deciding factor in football games is a turnover battle. So can they protect the ball enough to win games? That's what it comes down to. And the guy who touches the ball every play, Sam Darnold. So it rests on his shoulders. I hate to put that on him, but, hey, he has it. He has to wear the crown. They are going to go as far as Sam Darnold will take him. And so he has to be very careful with the ball because the rest of their team is rock solid. Like, they are a really well-constructed team. And they could be there. They should be there, given number one seed and how good their team is.
So would you be shocked if it was someone other than Seattle or L.A.?
Yes, because I think all the other teams are too flawed to do it. We talked about Philadelphia, Carolina. We've talked about the NFC South. Chicago's a mirage. Like, it's great. It's cute. All the pizzazz that they do on offense, mass. A defense that isn't great, but they take the ball away. So those teams aren't good enough. So then – look, it's one of the three NFC West teams that can come out of it because at least those teams play a brand of ball that is sustainable and will give them a chance against any opponent.
While we're exploring outside the Niners, what do you make of the AFC? Because you've got a couple of great defenses and Josh Allen going on the road and, you know, Trevor Lawrence and a hot team. Who do you think comes out of the AFC?
Man, it's wide open. This is wide open as it could be in the AFC. You have to love it if you're an AFC team competing in that because every team in the AFC has a flaw. Denver Broncos, defense is great, but it's great by design. They can get after the pass and those things, but they're not quite the rough and rugged defense. There's some of these other teams that we talk about. You talk about the Patriots being young and inexperienced with their quarterback, but the quarterback is really good, and Mike Vrabel understands how to manage a game that's tough. The Jaguars are slept on. No one talks about them. They're disrespected and all that, but Trevor Lawrence has been on a heater the last eight games. They're playing really well, and the coach is good. Steelers got away with one on Monday night. They should have been out. Mike Tomlin beating his chest and kissing goodbye, but they shouldn't have been in the postseason. The Texans are the team that no one wants to face because their defense is lights out. They make it uncomfortable for everybody. They can't score enough, but the magic number is 20, and most teams can't surpass 20. John Harbaugh and the Chargers are beat up on the offensive line. So it's tough. I mean, the Buffalo Bills are there, but this is the worst Buffalo Bills team that Josh Allen has led. So it's going to come down to who plays the best on a given Sunday. But there's not what I would call a dominant team that's coming out the AFC. They're good teams, but they're flawed.
So, Bucky, correct me if I'm wrong. There's three playoff teams that you know whose uniform you wore at a time or another in your career. Is that correct? The Bills, Packers, and Jags?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, three.
Do you identify with any one of these more than any? Like, do you ever? I don't want to put out on NFL Network world here that you're
rooting for
someone.
No,
but
they already know. They know what it is because right now I'm on the Jags radio broadcast.
Yep.
The Jags. I'm Duval. I'm DTWD. I'm Duval till I die. So I'm rocking with the Jags. So like I'm with them. We're playing Buffalo. Buffalo was the first team I went to. Buffalo also was the first team that cut me. That's a little personal. I mean, like, when we talk about that, it's an old breakup. You know what I'm saying? It's an old breakup. So, yeah, there's that. And then the Packers are cool, but, you know, I spent a lot of time there. Didn't play a lot, but I was on the team. So, yeah, so Jacksonville is the place where I played. I enjoyed. And I'm going to say this, like, in all honesty, people haven't had a chance to watch them. So you need to watch them on Sunday. And I hope they acquit themselves well because this team has been lights out and they played a really competitive schedule where, look, they knocked off the Niners on the road, which is tough. They played everybody that you could think about being a heavyweight. Seattle beat them and the Rams mollywopped them, but everybody else, they knocked off the Broncos or whatever. So they've seen all the fastballs. And so to me, it wouldn't be surprising that when we come back and talk in a month, we're talking because the Jaguars are there in the Super Bowl. Like that's how good they are, people won't believe it. But when you see them, that's how they perform. They perform at a high level.
When you say Duval, it's so much cooler than when Liam Cohen says it.
See, now, if you say that to Liam Cohen may throw something at you.
Oh, I know.
He's petty-wop. Like, I mean, he's very petty. And so whatever you say, because remember, he told Salah.
I know.
My name out your mouth. He told the same thing to Sean Payton. Small market that. So, like, be careful, Willard. I would hate to have to submit this clip to the Jaguars social team, because I would hate for you to be on the video that they ultimately send out when people feel when they've been disrespected.
Fire away.
I don't want to throw you in there.
No, listen, they say there's no such thing as bad publicity, so fire away. And if I'm Liam Cohen's problems, like for real, he's got bigger problems than me.
I mean, we all look for something to dig into. Like, we like a little, you know, like we like to dig and find a little something to get us going, a little energy. A little bulletin board material. You know how that goes.
Okay, then do it for us. Trevor Lawrence or Brock Purdy?
Ooh, that's a good one. And, you know, Brock Purdy trains down in Jacksonville. But look, I'm going to say this. Brock Purdy has been a more efficient and effective player throughout his career. Trevor Lawrence has more tools. And Trevor Lawrence right now, he's outplaying Brock right now. He's outplaying Brock. I mean, he is, even though Brock was on the heat until Saturday.
Yeah, like Brock Purdy, number two rated quarterback in the league this year.
And yeah, he didn't play all those games. I saw Mac Jones.
That's
jump
true.
In and,
yes.
I saw Mac Jones with my own eyes.
Yep.
The same guy I saw in Jacksonville who couldn't hit the side of the barn. You dropped him into that system in San Francisco. He looks like an all-star. You guys are talking about, man, we're going to trade him away. Somebody's going to want Mac Jones to be the guy. So I'll put this to you. Is it the system or is it the player?
Yeah, it's the system.
And I'm going to completely
it's both.
It is both.
And Bucky, this is what I was saying about Trevor, because I was saying earlier when we were playing the Jags that I thought Trevor was better and that he was going to be better because the system got better, and lo and behold, Trevor looks a lot better with Liam now this year.
Well, sure.
He does. So it is. Look, we all are system players, but I'm just saying, I saw Mac Jones out there looking like Joe Montana, so I'm worried.
I think
there was a little debate about, like, y'all weren't all the way convinced that Brock Purdy should replace Mac Jones when he got healthy.
That was.
Like, I thought there was a conversation.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, there was.
We had it out here.
There was because it's debate radio where people put a faux question on the board and everyone starts yelling at each other about it. Ride the hot hand. Give me a break with ride the hot hand, Bucky.
I'm just saying. Look, if we had the blind resume, I don't know. Both guys are like the same. I don't know. Well, one's a $50 million quarterback, and one is a cast off. They both put up the same numbers.
I knew. No, they didn't put up the same numbers. Mac Jones.
The same numbers.
Mac's beating the Cardinals 16-15, and people are like, ride the hot hand.
All right. Oh, my God. Hey. Hey, look, brother, just because Brock Purdy does the Dougie doesn't make him any cooler than Mac Jones. Oh. Mac Jones has some swag, too. I saw some of them post-game suits, some of those post-game fits that he has on. Like, I mean, I don't know.
I think that's why Brock started doing the Dougie. He's like, I better up my cool a little bit. Hey, Bucky, you're the best, bud. Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right, man. We do it.
All right. Beautiful stuff. Bucky Brooks, he's the best. NFL Network.